Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the Musicians Guild as we pick up today's lesson in 1 Chronicles, chapter 6, verse 31. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Now, it is interesting, in verse 31 of chapter 6, there were certain of these priests that David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. When they finally brought the ark back from the Philistines and they set it in the tabernacle, then David hired certain priests that they were just to be there singing before the Lord, worshiping the Lord in song. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and then they waited on their office according to their order. So when the temple was built, then there were always those within the temple singing praises unto God. I think that's beautiful. Put music tapes on, worship tapes. Let there be praise music going on in here whenever people want to just come in. Maybe you're being hassled, maybe you're under pressure. You can just come in and sit and listen to the worship of the Lord, the tapes. We can't afford to hire a choir to sing here 24 hours a day, but at least we can have tapes, and you can just sit and enjoy and relax as you are brought into a sense of God's presence through the worship music. The actual offerings were to be carried on through Aaron and his descendants, verse 49. Then the various cities that were given to the Levites are listed for us. And you go through quite a long list of the cities on that. But that's a long chapter, 81 verses, and all of those cities that were given to the Levites. Then you come to the tribe of Issachar, then to the tribe of Benjamin, then to Naphtali, and then to Manasseh, then to Ephraim. And just one note, chapter 7, verse 27, Nun, his son, Jehoshua, his son. Nun, of course, was the father of Jehoshua, who later was called Joshua by Moses and the man that took over after Moses. Jehoshua means Jehovah is salvation. And this is the Hebrew name for the Greek name Jesus, Yeshua. In the Hebrew, Yeshua. In the Greek, Jesus. And then the sons of Asher, coming into chapter 8, you get the sons of Benjamin and the chief men of Benjamin, bringing you to Saul and to Jonathan, which brings us up to chapter 9. Here we find all of Israel were reckoned by their genealogies. Behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for their transgression. And so you bring you up to Babylon now, and they're being carried away. And then, again, going back to the Levites and to the task of the Levites. And again in verse 33, and these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. Constantly, that was their employment. Remember the one psalm, Come Bless the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. It must have been something wonderful to be able to go to the temple at any hour, day or night, and find those that were there singing praises to God, blessing the Lord, the priest walking around worshiping the Lord, hands lifted, and David speaks of them. He had employed them and hired them for this purpose. Really, that psalm was the inspiration behind our men gathering all night long every night of the week for prayer, so that there is prayer going up continually from the house of the Lord during the nighttime hours. And you can call any hour of the night from 10 at night to 8 in the morning, and you'll find men in there who will pray for you, pray for your needs, respond to your needs, and there to minister. And that psalm was the inspiration for this particular ministry here at the church, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. And those men who are here all hours of the night, each night of the week, they're ministering to the Lord and ready to minister to the needs of those who may call. As we get into chapter 10, we now come to the reign of Saul over Israel. It's a short chapter, and it just deals mainly with the death of Saul. Now, one other thing I'd like to point out, and that is the book of Chronicles, for the most part, deals with the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, and with the temple and with David and Solomon. In the book of Kings, we were constantly reading of the various kings, and it said, and are not the other things recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Judah? And then we read, are they not recorded in the chronicles of the kings of Israel? These are the chronicles, really, of the kings of Judah. We don't really pay too much attention in these to the kings of Israel. There are no doubt other books, the chronicles of the kings of Israel, of which we do not have the real records. But these are those of Judah, and they concentrate upon the kings of Judah. But of course, Saul was king over all of Israel, as was David and Solomon. And so it's combined in these three men. So the Philistines fought against Israel. The men of Israel fled, and they fell slain in Mount Gilboa, up in the area of the Valley of Megiddo. And the Philistines followed hard after Saul and after his sons, and they slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua. And the battle went against Saul, and he was hit by the archers, and he was wounded by them. So Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. He was afraid of the torture that they would inflict upon him if they caught him alive. And his armor bearer was hesitant to do so. And so Saul fell on his own sword. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell also on his sword and died. Saul committed suicide. Now, as the scripture mentions the suicide of Saul, there is nothing said against it in a negative way. It just, matter of fact, reports it. And it doesn't intimate in the reporting of it that he blew it, he was lost because he committed suicide. No indication of that whatsoever. The fact that it does pass it over without mention would indicate that it is not looked upon in the scripture as some horrible sin or some unforgivable kind of a sin. I do not believe that it is God's way out, but on the other hand, I do not believe that it is unpardonable. I do not believe that it means you're lost forever because if you've done that. I cannot believe that. So Saul committed suicide. And his three sons, all of them died the same day in the battle against the Philistines. When the men of Israel saw it, they fled. Now the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the valuables off of those bodies that were lying there on the battlefield, they found Saul and his sons. And so they stripped Saul and then they beheaded him. And they sent his head to the land of the Philistines to carry the tidings to their idols and to their people. And they put his armor in the house of their gods and they fastened his head up in their temple of Dagon. And so the abusing of the head of Saul, using it as a trophy to show to the people their victory over the king of Israel. The body of Saul was left in Beth Shean. And there in Beth Shean, the men of Jabesh Gilead came across and took the body of Saul and his sons back to across the Jordan River, and there they cremated them. So Saul died, last verse, or next to last, for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. And also because he asked counsel of one that had a demon spirit, a familiar spirit of that witch. And he inquired not of the Lord. Therefore the Lord slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. So for his disobedience to the command of God, for his inquiring from a witch and not inquiring of the Lord, Saul fell, and David became the king over Israel. He began to reign in Hebron. He reigned in Hebron for 7 years, during which time Abner, the general, went with Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul. But then he also came and delivered the northern kingdom unto David, and David came to Jerusalem to rule. Verse 4, and David and all of Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, that was the city of the Jebusites. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, you are not going to come into our city. But nevertheless, David took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. And David said, whosoever smites the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first up and was chief. Now, in Jerusalem today, you can walk down the recent excavations of the city of David, Ophel, the side of the mountain there. As you get down just above the spring of Gihon, you go down these steps and you come to a round hole that has been dug through the solid rock, probably 5 feet or so in diameter. And this round hole that's been dug through the rock goes down to the spring of Gihon. The water, the spring of Gihon, was outside the wall because it's down in the valley and you can't build a wall high enough in the valley because those on the other side, it goes up the hill and they could be shooting over at you. So you build your wall up higher so you have the advantage of the natural hillside and then your wall. But it leaves the spring of Gihon outside the city. So what they did was they dug through the solid rock this hole down to the spring so that it was like a well. They would come there and then they would let their buckets down the hole into the water of the spring down below. And that way they had the water supply within the city. They could get to the water. Joab surprised the Jebusites by climbing up this 70-foot tunnel. Now, he must have had his sword and his armor on, Because when he got inside the city, he had to fight and he had to open up the gate for the rest of the guys. Some of the fellows followed Joab up that. When you see that, you think, man, he must have been a tough hombre. Climbing up in the dark, that hole, and it's sort of awesome just to stand there and look at that thing and look down towards the spring, down this dark hole, and realize that Joab climbed up that thing, the first one into the city, and thus he earned the right to be the chief and the general over David's army. He had already led David's army. However, when he killed Abner, he was sort of in disfavor, and David was trying to give his job over to someone else, but it didn't work. David said, the first one into the city, you know, he can be the chief and the captain. And so Joab was the first in. One tough guy. And you that will be going to Israel with us, we'll take you down and we'll show you that thing. And you'll just stand there and you'll be amazed. You look down that hole and realize Joab climbed up that thing with his sword and all. Man, it would be tough just to do it if you were a rock climber and you know, had all your gear, resin, and everything else. You know, that would be a tough climb. I really don't know how he did it, but so David waxed greater and greater. Why? Verse 9, because the Lord of hosts was with him. Secret of a man's greatness. God is with him. Now, we have a listing here of the mighty men of David. There were two groups of three who were the toughest. The second group of three weren't quite as tough as the first group of three. Interestingly enough, though there were the three mighties, only two of them are listed in both categories. There were two categories of three mighties. The second three mighties did not, you know, come to the greatness of the first three, but there are only two of their names listed for us here in Chronicles. And so of the first three mighties, in verse 11, Jashobeam and Hachmonite. Now, it's interesting that we don't hear much about these guys in the books of Samuel, but these were the mighty men of David. And this fellow lifted up his spear against 300 who he killed at one time. He got in a battle and wiped out 300 guys with his spear. I can see why he's one of David's mighty men. After him was Eliezer, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamin. When the Philistines were gathered there for battle, there was a parcel of ground that was full of barley, and the people fled from the Philistines. But these three fellows set themselves in the midst of the parcel, and they delivered it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. So these three guys wiped out the Philistines. They stood their ground. So another incident, David was in the hold, in the fortress, and the garrison of the Philistines had captured the city of Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, if I could only have a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem. Of course, David grew up in Bethlehem as a kid. He probably had drunk from the water a lot and probably a good spring of water. We don't know where the well is today. They do have in Bethlehem, they call the Well of David, but it's a mile away from the site where it should be, and it's a cistern. It's not a true well anyhow. So we don't know where this well was. But David said, oh, man, I'd like to have a drink of that well. So these three fellows went over there and they broke through the ranks of the Philistines and got a pitcher of water out of the well and brought it back to David. There you are, man, out of the well. David said, hey, I can't drink that. You guys hazarded your life and you shed blood to get this for me and you put your lives in jeopardy. He said, this is too important. I'm going to give it to the Lord. And he poured it out on the ground and said, Lord, you know, you can drink it. You know, these guys hazarded their lives to bring me this water. So they were the three mightiest men of David. And then after them were three others. Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the chief of the three. He lifted up his spear against 300 and killed them. And of the second three, he was more honorable than the other two, for he was their captain, howbeit he didn't achieve the same ranking of the first three. The second one was Benaiah, and Benaiah became David's chief bodyguard. Verse 25, and David set him over his guard. That was his own personal bodyguard. And then through the rest of the chapter are listed the other 35 names or so of the other mighty men of David. You can read them if you want, but good luck. You'll have a tough time. So that brings us now on into more of the narrative. We're through the heavies, and we come out on the other side into the narrative, and it's going to be more fun from here on out.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson as we continue with The Mighty Men of David. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we thank you again for that life in Christ that excels. And Lord, help us that we might come to the Jordan and not be content to remain in the wilderness, but may we press on, that we might inherit the promises of God and live that life of victory in the Spirit as we through the Spirit do overcome. Lord, strengthen us as we trust in you. And Father, bless us. Enlarge our borders. Lord, keep us from evil. And keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Every year, Pastor Chuck gives his prophecy update to prepare Christians to be ready to give an answer for anyone who wants to know what the Bible says about the future. And right now, The Word for Today would like to offer you resources that will help you comprehend and unravel the scriptures that pertain to prophecy, such as Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Revelation, or a collection of DVDs that relate to Israel, the rapture, and the Holy Spirit in the last days. I encourage you as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to become informed about what the Bible says about the soon return of Jesus Christ, and to be able to share your faith with others. For more information about resources concerning biblical prophecy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. www.thewordfortoday.org, or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today, Costa Mesa, California.